knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Dean Richards joins us, as he does pretty much every Thursday, to talk about movies and entertainment in general. Hi, Dean. How are you?
I'm fine. I just posted on my Facebook page that I was going to be joining you guys, and I'm trying to figure out why I have a picture of Shirley Temple sitting on a train on my Facebook page.
Some things are better left unexplained, don't you think?
That's right. It's as if I posted it, though. I think Shirley Temple is talking to me from the Good Ship Lollipop from the grave.
It was the sequel on the Good Train Lollipop. Didn't sell as well as the ship, but that's all right.
Somehow Ship a little more romantic for
way
some
more.
Reason. I don't get it.
Way, way more. Before we talk about the movies coming out this week, I just wanted to go over something. I know you're aware of this. They changed something about the Oscar speeches, whereas now they've come up with a way where there will be a crawl line underneath the Oscar speeches with all the producers and all the agents and the little
right.
people, right? Is that what they're doing?
Well, right. The people, when the stars go up there to accept their awards and they pull the little note out of their pocket or
yeah.
their brassiere area,
mm-hmm.
And they, you know, just go up there and read a list of notes that, you know, couldn't be more boring to the viewing audience. So apparently they've asked people to submit those in advance, and if they wind up winning, they're gonna wind up running those, you know, on the lower third part of the screen, so everyone will get their thanks. Nobody will get left out, and the winner can speak more from the heart and say more things like, "Oh, I didn't think this was gonna happen."
Yeah, right.
We're gonna hear that from everybody.
I don't know what to say now that I don't have my list here.
Well, they'll still tell their kids that mommy's coming home. You can go to bed now.
Right.
They like to say that.
Yep.
That's
yep.
always fun.
Maybe they should put that on the little lower part, lower part of the screen.
Right.
Here's a message for little Tommy. Go to bed.
Right. Was that an SNL bit where the kids were like, I wonder when mommy and daddy are going to come home? And they were just out partying and doing blow.
They had a
and
crazy
they were
night.
Never coming home.
Yeah.
Well, they'll be home soon. Maybe I should put you to bed.
And then something from last week, Dean, really quick. I had mentioned this, but we started talking about other things. The Academy under a lot of scrutiny for not having many or any black nominees this year.
What?
It was in the paper.
What?
Next year may be different. There's already a movie. We're more than a year away from the Academy Awards. But what are you hearing about Birth of a Nation? Are you hearing the same amazing things I'm hearing?
I'm hearing that it was the highest paid amount of money by a film studio to get the rights to distribute the film. I don't remember the
D.W. Griffith
studios.
Classic?
Originally.
Well, it was originally. It's going to be remade into, it's still going to be a slave story from what I understand, but it's going to be more of a slave rebellion story rather than really a white supremacist story, which
yeah.
is what the original was. They're taking the first name to sort of make a point, but the movie itself will be told more from the perspective of sort of a rebellion of slaves rather than, the Ku Klux Klansman's point of view.
Right.
There's a lot of buzz about it. There's a lot of talk about it. I mean, there always is. I barely even cover what happens at the film festivals.
Yeah.
Because so much can happen. So There's so much of a promotion machine that's going on right now to hype certain movies. Really, all that we know for sure right now is that I think it was offered to Netflix or it was offered to one of the online services, and they were outbid by one of the film studios who really wanted to have a picture of color.
Mm-hmm.
And probably because of a lot of the controversy that's going on with regard to diversity, and they paid a record amount of money for the film rights to it all.
There's an English actor, Nate Parker. He's had small parts in movies like Arbitrage and The Secret Life of Bees, and he's the guy behind this. He's written it and directed it and stars in it, and everybody's saying, even though it's a year away, next year's going to be different because of this guy in this movie.
Yeah, and the voting will be a little bit different next year also. Some of the changes that they put in for the way that you get into the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences will have already taken place. I don't think it's going to be a huge change in the voting, but you could see that there's a consciousness with it, with the way the voting went with the Screen Actors Guild. whose nominations were much more across the board in the first place, nominations that are determined by its membership, which is in the like 10,000, something like that. So a much bigger body of people that were making the nominations on this. But, you know, they gave two awards to Idris Elba, and I think there was only one non-black winner at the Screen Actors Guild in a very clear statement about the lack of diversity at the Oscars this year. So I think things will be a little bit different, as you say, at the Academy Awards next year.
Dean Richards will give you the reviews of the movies coming out this weekend, including Zoolander 2 and Deadpool. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, Dean Richards is with us. Dean, many years ago, Ben Stiller made the movie Zoolander about Derek Zoolander, a model.
Thus the name.
Thus the name Zoolander. I guess that played into why they
named it. He was going to call it Jimmy at first, but then he realized there's not a single person in this movie named Jimmy.
That would have been a horrible mistake.
Yeah. On Jeff Hoover's Facebook page, saw a little version of him doing Zoolander as he was at the Hawks game the other night. Yeah. He and his wife Tracy in front of or behind Jamal. Just looking like a Zoolander.
Oh. He did what we hate, what people do to us when we're out on the street someplace and doing a live report, and somebody, you know, gets behind the reporter and, you know, starts photobombing them, really, and that's what he did.
It's pretty great.
Doing Zoolander photos is pretty funny.
Please tell me Zoolander 2 lives up to the first one. Is it as funny? Is it as good?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I never really thought that the first Zoolander was a genius comedy. I like
that. I didn't either, except I'm Owen Wilson. What's with that moan?
That's how he talks.
I know. What is that?
That's how he talks, man. That's the way he talks.
I think it's awesome.
It's the way he talks. And when I interviewed him recently, you know, he's broken his nose like 15 times.
Yeah.
I could not stop staring at his nose during the whole time. I kind of felt bad. But it's so crooked. It's just, you know, and he doesn't, you know, a lot of people would have gone and, you know, gotten it fixed and straightened, and he just...
Not me.
I just don't care. Oh. That's the way I'm going to be. I'm making $15 million. I don't care. the characters, they're, you know, the history of this movie is really interesting because the first Zoolander movie was actually released into theaters 2 weeks after September 11th, 2001.
Yeah.
Not exactly, you know, America was not really in the mood for a comedy then. So this movie was a complete bomb when it first came out and was discovered on DVD.
Yeah.
That's where people really, you know, got into the story of this over-the-top male fashion model.
I wondered how that happened because I don't recall it being a big blockbuster hit
or anything.
No, so,
bomb. Yeah, it was a complete bomb because of September 11th, of course. But it did come out on DVD. It became cult-like. And Ben Stiller had always wanted to do a sequel for it, but was, you know, a little apprehensive because of the history of this whole thing. But this is one of these movies that's so silly. I mean, if you're going to sit there and take apart the comedy and overanalyze the comedy, it's not that funny. But the fact that they're so committed to this that they sort of realize it's ridiculously over the top. And you sit there and you laugh at this whole thing. The male models have long since retired. They're called back into the modeling business because big stars, famous celebrities are being murdered. But before they die, they do the famous Zoolander blue steel pose with their mouth.
Yeah.
That sort of puckered look with their mouth. And the one that's been in the trailer, so this is not a spoiler, is Justin Bieber, who gets murdered like Sonny Corleone in The Godfather.
Yeah.
They massacre Justin Bieber to the cheers of the audience that I sat in watching Justin Bieber get murdered. But others are also getting murdered in this movie, so they bring back Derek and Hansel as part of the plot to try to figure out who's behind this crime. What's great about this movie is that it's admittedly hilariously, they know that it's silly and are proud of it.
Great.
The other thing that they do with it is they have loaded this movie up with so many celebrity cameos.
Oh, yeah?
One after the other that you just sit there and wonder who's going to pop up on the screen next. That's also part of the delight of this movie. So, you know, I don't think it's great comedy. If you want to go see a movie you're going to laugh at and enjoy, I am going to recommend Zoolander. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Excellent. Can't wait to see it. What about Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds movie?
I want to see that.
Is my favorite movie of the week.
Yeah?
Maybe my favorite of the year
really?
So far.
Really?
This movie is so good. Reserve yourself a ticket to see Deadpool today, because once the word gets out about how good this is, it's going to be hard to get tickets. It's not like any other superhero movie that you've seen before. Everyone was so concerned because Ryan Reynolds has had so many flops in this particular genre.
Right. Green Lantern.
And he actually also played Deadpool in this kind of mediocre movie Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 2009 that that came out. So, you know, he has not had the best luck with box office success lately. This movie makes fun of that. This movie makes fun of him being sexiest man alive. This movie makes fun of everything. It is so sarcastic, so completely irreverent. I laughed my head off at
good.
This movie. Something that the commercials are just making this look like an average superhero movie.
Yeah.
It's not at all. I mean, there's a little bit of a thread of a regular superhero movie, but everything is irreverent. I can't tell you the number of times in this movie where Ryan Reynolds just turns to the camera, breaks the fourth wall, and starts talking to the audience for a sarcastic, irreverent reason.
Dean, in the comics, though, Deadpool is a villain. He's a bad guy. Do they play him as a bad guy in the
movie?
He's
a little bit of a bad guy in this. I wasn't as familiar with the comic book Deadpool, but I know he's sort of the anti-hero from everything that I've read.
But he has a heart of gold.
Oh, does he? Yeah.
And right. He is. Right. He does have sort of a heart of gold, which is part of the premise with this. But what you're going to be talking about when you come out of Deadpool is how completely irreverent it is, how it's so different from any other superhero movie that takes themselves seriously. This one does not take itself seriously at all. And let me tell you, don't be late for the start of this movie.
All right.
You want to see the opening credits to this film.
All right.
You don't
wow.
want to come 5 minutes late and go, I don't need to see the opening credits for this. The opening credits are pretty funny. Dean's List A on this one.
How about that? Dean says probably the best movie of the year so far. Do one more. Can you do How to Be Single?
How to Be Single is Rebel Williams. It's Dakota Johnson. It's Leslie Mann, Alison Brie, four women who are, you know, going through various stages of being single. Rebel Wilson, of course, is the wild child, does want to do nothing but, you know, party and one-night stands. Dakota Johnson is just out of relationship. She's the one who's never been single before, and Rebel Wilson takes her under her wing to, you know, try to learn how to negotiate the whole thing. I think it's just a confused story. It's nice that there's a romantic comedy out, because there hasn't been in a long time. This one just seems confused. It doesn't know if it wants to be a girls just want to have fun kind of movie, or if it wants to be something a little more serious that says the whole single life and the pursuit of being coupled with somebody isn't all that it's cracked up to be. It never really decides what it wants to be. Now, romantic comedy is not exactly, you know, my favorite kind of movie, so I may not be the perfect person to rate this.
Yeah.
I honestly was a little bored with it. I gave it a Dean's List C. You know, people to whom this movie is directed, you know, might find it a little more entertaining than I did. And I'll just throw in also Michael Moore's new movie. I'll wait for the lightning to strike when you say the name Michael Moore.
Right.
Michael Moore's new documentary has just opened. I love this movie. It's called Where to Invade Next, and Michael Moore, quote, invades, goes to different countries to explore how they handle healthcare in other countries, how they handle free public education, college education in other countries, how they do things in other countries, and suggests that, you know, maybe we could do the same kind of thing in America. I didn't need to see as much Michael Moore. He injects himself an awful lot into this movie and takes away from it. But the idea of exploring how things are done in other countries, we might be able to pick from some of those things and apply them in America, I think is interesting at best. I gave that one a B.
Oh, all right. Very good. I know he's a polarizing figure, but he does make some very interesting films. He really does, Michael Moore. Dean, thanks so much. There's a lot to see this this weekend, so we appreciate you being here.
Happy Valentine's Day to both of you.
And to you, sir.
You as well.
Thank you so much. That's the lovable Dean Richards, everybody. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.